Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to the middle of the week. It's a full week. Like, I feel like we finally had a full week. Like, everything's been weird. Going to the inaugural, holiday weeks, New Year's week. I don't know. Just all of a sudden, now we got a full week. But it's the middle of the week. That means it's Camel Day. Play it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo! It is hump day. You guys are halfway to the weekend. We're glad of it. We're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday. And, yeah, thank you to the Camel for announcing the middle of the week. And pushing the buttons on the board so ably. That'd be JP. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing good. I feel like my head's still spinning. I feel like a lot has happened today.
What happened today?
RFK's here. Oh, yeah. Trump just signed the Lincoln Riley Act.
He did just a moment ago, yeah.
It's. I feel like every day of the Trump administration has been like this.
Alabama's Katie Britt standing right there. Is he signed away?
Mm-hmm. It's been jam-packed, I feel like, every day with Trump, and it's awesome.
Listen, good on her, too, Senator Britt, because you can spend an entire career up in the U.S. Senate and never have a piece of signature legislation you could say that you started and got it all the way through, much less in one session. So, yeah.
She's done a lot in a lot less time than other senators. Yeah, I'll say that.
And it's on a good cause. I mean, the nice thing is I agree with it. So, yay. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we didn't, we'd be saying, well, how about that? But yeah. No, it's the other way around. What a good thing. All right, we'll talk about that and more as part of the show later on. But just know this, we got a great show laid on for you coming up at 3 o'clock today. We're going to cook up a batch of home fries, and we're going to have our friend Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute calling in. Listen, every one of the states has an institute of some type. Tennessee has the Beacon Center. You've got the Texas Public Policy Institute. You got Mississippi Public Policy. You got Alabama Policy Institute. And these are the folks that watch what's happening in your state capital, and they push for conservative values. Stephanie Smith's a great friend of the show. She'll be on at 3 o'clock talking about things in our state legislature, so stay tuned for that. And then at 4 o'clock, you know the deal, it's Wednesday. What does that mean? We have a thing we call the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio. That'd be Jeff Poor from 1819 News and his own show down in Mobile, and Dale Jackson from up yonder in Huntsville with also Yellowhammer News. And we ping each other with questions and just see what we each think about the different things going on in the news. That's the Grand Council at 4 o'clock. And then I've still got a triple dipper that I'm going to try and get through full of stuff. So hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, yeah, we're going to cook up a batch of home fries. Going to cook them up, man. Going to talk about things happening right here in your backyard. Sometimes what happens in your state is more important and impactful to your life than what happens in D.C. So we're going to talk about what's going on in a batch of home fries at number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, y'all, the changes in the Department of Defense are like, by the minute. By the minute. I'm going to talk about the new DOD. Yes, indeed. Maybe I should call it the new and improved DOD. But either way, we're going to talk about new things, at least, happening at the DOD as number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, look, I'm going to try and do justice to this. I'm not like Birdman, who does our right-click podcast, where I'm steeped in the ideas and knowledge of tech and gaming and all of it. But I'm going to do what I can to do justice to what's happening with artificial intelligence. Because yesterday or day before, all of a sudden, China came out with something that just really kind of freaked everybody out in the tech world. And I'm saying Skynet's coming. What's Skynet? Don't you remember Skynet? The movie Terminator? Skynet became self-aware and decided to attack humanity. Well, anyway, Skynet's coming. That's number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys that every single day, attorney Stan McDonald is the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. Partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee up in Huntsville, Stan McDonald, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, and I'll tell you more about him in just a minute, but just know this, he is your Right Side Way monologue sponsor. All right, so let me make a statement, and I'll just say it emphatically and very succinctly. State legislatures are incredibly important. They are. I mean, I said before that I only thought I knew the impact that a well-run state legislature could have before I ran for state senate myself. But when I actually got elected and sent to the state capitol, I became keenly aware of how much each state house and senate body can accomplish if they really set their minds to it. Or for that matter, how much they can screw up. All right, so this is that time of year, that season in nearly every state where the members of the respective state legislative branches gather for the annual regular session. And there's a few of them in special sessions. Florida right now is staring at a special session on immigration. Tennessee is in a special session on school choice. Alabama goes into regular session next week. Laws are going to be passed. Taxes will be either raised or lowered or ignored. Budgets will be debated and hopefully balanced, and a myriad of other things the state needs done. And look, we talk all the time about what happens in Congress, right? We do. What the U.S. Senate is doing. But have you ever paid attention, I mean like really paid attention, to the folks that decide everything from your local tax laws, education funding, Medicaid, criminal penalties in prisons, or whether or not your state will ban transgender treatments on minors? All of that and more is decided for you every year by folks who just live and work right there in your own hometown. And then they drive periodically to their state capital, make it law. Well, right now, every state in the Southeast has a Republican supermajority in their state house, and they're on the verge of blowing it. Some of them are absolutely on the verge of blowing it. So let me ask you a question. You ever been in one of those no-lose situations? I mean, we've all seen no-win situations, but have you ever had the times and the stars aligned and you find yourself looking at your own personal situation and you think, okay, why would I not? I'll be honest, that's actually the way I pray sometimes. When I'm seeking the Lord's guidance on something, it often starts out with asking for wisdom, and sometimes those prayers are, Lord, should I? And I might seek outside counsel from a godly friend or a family member or my wife. But sometimes the events on the ground swirl together, and I find myself having to switch my prayers to, Lord, why would I not? And when that happens, when the decisions seem really obvious, I have to measure them against what I know of God's will, His character, His word, and make sure they're not just distractions. But then I find myself sometimes looking it all over it and honestly asking for God's intervention, asking Him just to go ahead and shut the door if He doesn't want me to do it because everything says I should. And I get down to praying, Lord, why would I not? I mean, sometimes the big decisions are actually the easiest ones. The facts and the circumstances just line up in such a way that you look at yourself in the mirror and you realize there's nothing to lose and everything to gain. Like when I asked Charlene to marry me 39 years ago, it was actually a no-brainer. I had no money, no job, I was still in school, I was only 21, but hey, I knew the upside, right? I'd be married to her, why would I not? When I went to Army Ranger School, I had no advance notice, no train-up, a slot opened up with 6 days' notice. I wanted to do it. It was the only shot I was ever going to get. Why would I not? When the day came that I was asked to go to consider running for the state Senate, well, I reviewed the opportunity, Charlene and I talked about it, we believed in it, and it came down to why would I not? When I decided to start my own law firm, we sat on the couch at home one night and could not find a reason why not to do it. We couldn't find one. And it became a prayer of, okay, Lord, why would we not? And this show, I'll be honest with you, this show is like that. Right Side Radio, which has grown into a full-blown media company with podcasts and everything. Well, just like that, the opportunity arose. It ain't easy. It involves change, getting out of my comfort zone. But there was really nothing to lose, it felt like. And it came down to, why would I not? Okay. Now, you might look at those things and say, well, those weren't really no-lose situations. They could have gone badly, sure. But not really. Because if they hadn't worked out, like marriage, ranger school, Senate, law practice, this radio show, what would I have lost? What would I have lost by not trying? No real changes, but a life filled with experiences. In the end, each one of those and other decisions like them have paid off more than I could have ever asked or imagined. But there's also times, though, I'll be honest with you, and I saw it when I was in the state Senate myself, there are times when the elected leaders of our states need to think along the same lines. They need to think along the lines of, okay, why would we not? Like right now, state legislatures are convening. They've been given a golden opportunity. Y'all, they are in the middle of one of the most dynamic conservative movements in modern history. A time when the public sentiment has swung decidedly in the favor of conservative values, conservative principles, conservative politicians. What happened in the recent election cycle was not just a wave, and it was not just for D.C. It was a tsunami, and it's for the states, too. There's no doubt in my mind that any state Republican supermajority could act in a decisive and deliberate manner right now to enact all the things they say they stand for, the things our state voters actually gave them a supermajority for, and actually get some major stuff done. And I have to look at it and go, Why would you not? But take Florida. Florida right now. We're watching as the Republican supermajority down there is pushing back on Governor DeSantis' call for state-level immigration laws. They actually took the bill he proposed, put forward by his administration, and then they watered it down. Why would they do that? They even went so far as to strip the governor of Florida of his enforcement powers on state-level illegal immigration and give it, inexplicably, to the Florida Secretary of Agriculture. Huh. They have a mandate, y'all. They have an opportunity. They can pass whatever they want to pass, but they choose, apparently, to get squishy. Have they not seen the overwhelming national sentiment? Have they not heard their constituents' calls? Have they not seen that immigration reform in their Florida capital could actually work? Why would they not? How about Tennessee, where we're on right now in Chattanooga? In Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee has called the state house and sent it into a special session on major school choice legislation. Well, Tennessee, like Alabama, it needs reforms to its education system. Parents deserve to be given the ability to determine what is best for their child's educational needs without being bound to a zip code or to a bureaucratic, you know, nightmare. President Trump has also signaled overwhelming support for measures like those proposed by the Tennessee governor. Calling school choice, Trump said, the civil rights issue of our generation. Tennessee House and Senate committees have both passed the school choice measures out of committee, but the debate on the floor is still set to be dicey. I mean, have they heard the cries of their constituents? Have they seen the movement around the nation? Do they know that the time is right now? School choice for Tennessee, why would they not? And then there's Alabama. Right now, the Alabama legislature is in that very same position. The Alabama House and Senate, they go into regular session next week, and there's already talk about whether the rarefied air in the state house is going to be consumed with gambling once again. Gambling bills. They just seem to reward bad actors and lawbreakers who've been flaunting our laws and corrupting our politics for decades. Meanwhile, the easy layup bills, the things that people really want, like the What Is a Woman Act, to declare Alabama a state that only recognizes actual biological sex, or the bill that keeps porn filters in place to protect children. Somehow things like that still remain debatable? Have they read the room? Do they see the national mandate for restoration of values? Are they aware of the strength of their position? The Republican supermajority in Alabama could get anything passed if they wanted to. Lower your taxes? Done. Protect children? Done. Streamline government? Done. Alabama restore illegal immigration laws to the forefront of the state code? Done. You got to look at the moment we're in, y'all, and realize there may never be another time like this one as strong as a movement for conservatives to take action, to actually walk in the authority that they've been granted. So, Alabama legislature, why would you not? And all these things taken from state legislative perspectives, what would the public think? I mean, what will the public who voted in these Republican supermajorities think when they see major steamrolls of state-level conservative legislation actually getting passed? I'll tell you what they'll think. They'll know you care. They will see that when they cried out, the legislature actually listened. So here's an idea. Tennessee, Alabama, Florida. Do something meaningful. Take advantage of the opportunity, the mandate you've been given. The national sentiment is in your favor. The wind is at your back. Don't do something hollow. Tell them all. Tell the people of your state that they will be protected as long as you're in office. And you'll be a conservative warrior. It's a no-lose situation. Why would they not? And that's a wrap. For the Right Side Way. Yeah, I know it. I know it for a fact. I know it, and I feel like I've earned the right to say it. Those things are important. And right now, unlike anything I've seen since 2010, when we had the Republican wave go through the Alabama state legislature, and we finally had a mandate to go do some things, and we did them. I mean, we came in hard and fast. This is the same, if not more, than what we had in 2010. They could get stuff done, and couldn't nobody stand in their way. Why would they not? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. That's the goal around here. Text lines are open, 833-68. 687-6. I had to stop to think of the number. That was the first time I've done that in forever.
It's almost like you've said the number for
I can say it in my sleep.
30 years, just, yeah.
And for some reason, I paused. Anyway, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Same number for both. Some of y'all are already figuring that out. I'll get those text messages momentarily. By the way, texture appears to be working today.
It is working.
I think it was on their side, not our side.
Yeah. I honestly may... Part of it may be got over flooded. We had a lot of texts, and we really appreciate it.
We did. Yeah. And yeah, yesterday. So those of y'all that did not get your text read out on the air yesterday, I apologize. Kick it in today, man. We'll start getting to them. I told you a moment ago, by the way, that attorney Stan McDonald is the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue every single day. So, yeah, Stan McDonald, he's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, been practicing for 30 years. And I know Stan personally, think the world of him. And here's the thing. He's not just a lawyer who will advocate for your needs, but Stan McDonald has been an absolute warrior out there in the world of politics and in cultural issues that Right Side Ruffians care about for years. I know it for a fact. So, yeah, Stan McDonald, he's represented his clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions. He knows how to represent you in front of local, state, and federal courts. And I'm going to tell you right now, I say it all the time, if Stan McDonald's on your side, you'll have no greater friend, and likewise, your adversary would have no greater foe. So here, I'm going to tell you how to get in touch with him. You ready? Attorney Stan McDonald at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee out of Huntsville. He's an America First family man. Here's his phone number, 256-479-3020. That's 256-479-3020. And tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I'd appreciate it. And now's that thing. No representation made the quality of legal service before the great quality of legal service before the lawyers. I swear I said it. I said every word. I swear I did. All right. No, good enough. Hey, by the way, JP's been just like, JP's just having fun, I think. You like your job.
It's a lot of fun, yeah.
But JP has been streaming the confirmation hearings on our social media platforms today. Had a bunch of y'all watching the RFK hearing through our social media, so thank you, JP, for mm-hmm. that. Good on you. We'll talk about RFK here momentarily because there have been some interesting moments in that. And then text messages, I'll get a few of those real quick. Bruce from Springville says, having a meaningful life requires risk-taking. Being a believer in Jesus Christ means forsaking the world for him, but the rewards are beyond our dreams. Bruce, well said. Ken from Athens says, outstanding monologue. So why would you not run for governor? No, thank you. I don't have it right now. There may not be another time like this for Alabama to elect a true conservative. Ken from Athens. Ken, thanks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches. Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, too, just for good measure. Couple more text messages. Shorty from Anderson, Alabama says, hey, Phil, that was an amazing monologue, as always. Keep up the good work, my brother. Thank you, Shorty. Appreciate you, man. David from Taft, Tennessee says, Phil, thanks for discussing Tennessee issues. Just know some of your WVNN listeners live in Tennessee, too. I know, man. We got a bunch of y'all. A bunch of y'all in Tennessee. So, yes, thank you, David. I appreciate it. Ken from Athens. Outstanding monologue. He said, oh, okay, he already read that one. It came in twice. Why'd it come in twice? Same text. Okay. And then Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, you have been the jack of all trades, unlike most people have mastered. I don't know if I've mastered anything, brother. He said, in this day, you're still a young man with many more endeavors in your future, and even though you may not think it, I think that God may have bigger plans. Well, and then he says, why not? Don't use my words against me, Jeff. Anyway, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you, man. I don't know what God's going to do. I just wait and watch and do. And sometimes that's the thing. I mean, sometimes it comes down to why would you not? And you realize that the calling is just to go do. I've said that on the show many times. Anyway, appreciate all of y'all. Hey, listen, RFK, it's not part of my dippers, but I feel like it's worthy of being covered a little bit. So today, JP decided the world's going to start streaming more with us. We're going to start streaming more to them. And so we had the RFK hearing up today. And how much did you get to watch yourself, by the way? Did you watch some of it?
Pretty much all of it. Yeah. While I was doing, you know, all my other work I had it going on in the background, so I was able to listen to it.
So good, because I only caught parts of it. So give me your, like, if you had to describe it in a couple of words, or a couple of phrases, what would it be? What was your impression?
A lot of Democrat barrages of accusations and absurd questions, and then not giving them proper time to respond with a valid, basically kind of like what they did in others, of like giving him a question, there's no way he could respond in the allotted time. So then when he starts to respond, it's, oh, well, then I'll just take that as a yes. Moving on. And it's like, no, that's,
it's a circus, a show.
Yeah. But there were a lot of good sound bites. In his opening statement, he said that every day for the last 20 years, he's knelt down and prayed that God will give him an opportunity to help save America's chronic disease issue and to help save American kids. And he also just talked about, just the issues that we've had, like our food ingredients and, making America healthy again.
Did he come across sincere to you?
Yes, very, very sincere. I mean, RFK has always come across as sincere to me. Like, I don't agree with about 70% of his policies, I would say, or maybe even more. But this one, I think he's spot on. And like I said, I think he's very genuine. He's an open book, like Hegseth, a very open book, and doesn't deny anything. I think that he's the guy for the job to do this.
He's not an open book. He wrote a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
his exactly. book. In fact, they tried to use his book against him today, and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. I heard more than once that, well, in your book, you say this, Senator. I never said that. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm rather interpreting that it says this. No, it didn't say that, Senator. That's not what happened.
I know Warnock from Georgia tried to say that he compared the CDC to Nazi camps or something like that. Yeah. And, yeah, Bernie Sanders had to come apart because of onesies that apparently RFK is presiding over a company that sells these anti-vaccine baby onesies or whatever. And goes, will you commit to taking this down? And RFK's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know? But yeah, him and Elizabeth Warren had a good back and forth too, where she subtly tried to make him commit to not suing big pharma companies.
Yeah.
There were a lot of great sound bites from it today.
Basically, what she's saying is you need to give them all immunity. Mm-hmm. They can do no wrong.
But she said it in a way that didn't come across. And he just flat out says that you're just asking me in a nice way to not sue big pharma companies.
Well, there's also, there was also comment about things like you're trying to change, everybody's diet. And I think at one point, Senator Mike Crapo of, where is he from? Idaho, I think. Yeah. Republican was questioning him. And the response he got from Kennedy was, if you want a McDonald's cheeseburger or a Diet Coke, which my boss, Donald Trump, loves, he said, you should be able to get them, but you should also know what the impacts are on your health. So, I mean, I'm wondering, does that mean he's going to want to put, like lawyer disclaimers on every piece of fast food? Is that what he's saying? Or,
well, I think in that same questioning, he said that in, Europe, McDonald's fries have 3 ingredients and ours have 11. Point. Cutting down on the unnecessary ingredients and such. So
get back to tallow oil.
Yeah, he said that specifically. Yeah. Tallow oil, and just a lot of vaccine denier accusations from the left, as I predicted.
Elizabeth Warren was a piece of work. Mark Warner was a piece of work. Mm-hmm. What else we got? Oh, he was actually called a conspiracy theorist by Senator Tillis.
Oh, Tillis. I think Tillis asked him if he's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Or asked him that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Tillis is a Republican, mm-hmm. so I'm sure that was more along the lines of giving him an opportunity to respond.
Yes. Yeah.
He flat out said, I'm not against vaccines. He said the opening line, I remember this, I heard this part. The opening line in my book is, I am not opposed to vaccines. And the last line in my book is, I'm not opposed to vaccines. He said, but we need to know what we're putting into our kids' bodies and, elaborate from there. He also talked about over-medicating the population. He also talked about the cost of health care in our country by comparison to others. And why would that be? And then he called them out for their Trump derangement syndrome right to their faces.
He did. Yeah. He said, he said, these Democrats used to be on my side, but now that I'm a Trump and they have to, viciously be opposed to anything connected to Trump, now they're attacking me.
Did you see where his sister, I think, came out against him yesterday?
His cousin. A lot of JFK's.
That's so tacky.
JFK's, kids and grandkids have come out against him, which, by the way, in my opinion, that validates him even more because he's putting his neck out on the line. And I know it would really hurt me if, my family, came out against me that openly and publicly. So the fact that he's continuing to go on in spite of that, I think that just validates him even more, in my opinion, that he's sincere and wants to do what's best for America.
Just so you know, we will not come out against
you. maybe not you, but maybe there's some cousins I pissed off along the way.
Nah, it's all good. All right, listen, more to come on this. I also saw that just moments ago, former Congressman Duffy was sworn in as the new Department of Transportation secretary. Mm-hmm. Nowhere to go but up there, replacing Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg is out, and Duffy is in. Duffy, who's also married to Rachel Campos Duffy from Fox News. So Fox got all the connections on this one, don't they?
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
And then who else came out? I think it was Pam Bondi was referred positively out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. So she was voted out of committee positively, meaning she can now become a floor vote for Attorney General. And I believe we'll see that probably as early as next week.
Yeah, hopefully even before the end of the week. I don't know. We'll see.
If we can get the Democrats to get out of the way. Right now, the Democrats are posturing as if they believe that as soon as she gets in, she's going to launch lawfare. They are the authors of lawfare. Yep. Isn't that ironic? It's what they do.
Yeah.
They always accuse us of doing what they're doing. It boggles the mind. Well, look, so the bottom line is RFK, I mean, I'm going to be real clear. RFK is not a conservative.
No.
He's conservative on some things. He's also, oh, by the way, a change agent. And I see this as being the place in government where he most wanted to be.
Yeah.
Besides maybe Attorney General.
Yeah. I mean, for 20 years, he's been praying for this opportunity.
Yeah. I can see this being the place where he most wanted to be. I can also see it being the place, one of the few places where he and Trump are probably more fully aligned.
Yeah.
And of course, Trump nominated him for that very reason. But then I don't think he could have fit in anywhere else. I don't think his views could have fit in anywhere else. Tulsi Gabbard, let's be honest, she's not a true conservative. Mm-mm. She's got some policy positions. She's a former Democrat herself, most recently switched over to the Republican Party. But she's a change agent, and she's also willing to, both of them, RFK and Tulsi, what I admire is they are willing to openly buck their party.
Yeah.
And say, what you're doing is wrong, and I can't be a part of it.
Yeah. And that's why I think the compartmentalization of it. Like, I don't agree with RFK on abortion. I don't agree with him on energy or, you know, a lot of stuff. But I think if we can just put him to where we do align with him and let him go to work, I think that's what needs to be done. And, you know, I've already seen Mike Pence come out and say because RFK is not pro-life that he can't be HHS secretary, which I don't really understand. Because
Mike Pence is making himself more irrelevant by the day.
Yeah. I don't even think HHS secretary can change anything on abortion.
It's a state law matter.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily agree with that.
Which, by the way, go back to my monologue. There's another reason that state legislatures matter, because Roe v. Wade overturned and handed back to the states. Your state law matters.
Yeah.
All right, so tomorrow, let's see, we swore in Duffy today for DOT. We had the hearing today for RFK. Tomorrow we got Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel, and I think we're going to stream Kash Patel,
yeah,
right?
8:30 tomorrow morning Central Time, Kash Patel. We'll stream that on our Twitter, and then 9 o'clock Tulsi Gabbard's will be going on. I think RFK has another hearing tomorrow on a different subcommittee as well.
I think he does.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's through yet.
Y'all go come check out Right Side's Twitter. I'll stream it to Phil's Twitter as well. We'll be streaming the Kash Patel confirmation hearing if y'all want to come check it out.
I think that one might get spicy, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think Tulsi Gabbard's going to have to answer for some things that she did, like going over to Syria, which I think was very questionable, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I also think that Tulsi's going to have to answer, even to Republicans, for how she can, because she's got a bit of an isolationist attitude, and there's going to be times when we have no choice but to be expeditionary. I'm not a full-on isolationist, but I don't want to go start new wars. But if somebody tries to punch us in the mouth from afar, I say we go fix it.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I think Tulsi's is going to be some stuff that's going to be interesting, but I think Kash Patel is going to be a free-for-all, man.
I think he's the most combative of them all. Like, he's going to have a back and forth with them.
And Kash has got crazy eyes.
He does, yeah.
He's going to be sitting there with crazy eyes the entire time, and I bet there's going to be a bunch of sound bites come out of that one. So, yeah, we'll stream Kash Patel tomorrow, and if anything good comes out of it, we'll make it part of the show for tomorrow. All right, listen. I got a whole dipper here. I hadn't even started yet. We're going to do it. I'm going to take a break right now. I'm going to come right back. And we're going to kick off a batch of home fries. Talk about things that are happening right here in your own backyards. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, breaking news right now up on the screen. I'm watching it. CNN's got this. You may remember Senator Bob Menendez, the U.S. Senator from, Massachusetts, I believe? Yeah, Democrat. Just sentenced to 11 years in prison. Wow. Convicted of bribery and corruption. You remember him? He's the one they found gold bricks in his house He had taken cash and gifts from the Egyptian government while he was the, I think, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I mean, okay, so that one went to jail. Even his Democrat brethren couldn't cover up for him anymore at that point. Gold bricks in his closet. You know, everybody's got gold bricks in their closet.
And they were able from the Egyptian government.
Yeah, really. And they were actually able to trace those gold bricks, too, because they had they had stamps on them. And they came from nefarious backgrounds, let's put it that way. All right, I am going to kick up a batch of what we like to call home fries. What is that? Well, that's when I take a look at what's going on in and around and where we live. Because like I keep saying to you, and I said in my monologue earlier, what happens in our own backyard, in our own state capitals, sometimes has more impact on how we live and work and do things on a day-to-day basis than what happens in D.C. That being said, I like to call it cooking up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Cook them up. Just cook them up. All right. So, first of all, school choice very much, very, very, very much in the mix right now. Tennessee was called into a special legislative session for their state legislature, and they're in it right now. Just this morning, I got word that the Tennessee legislature, both the House and the Senate, gave what is known as a favorable report. That's when you take a bill through the committee process and you report the bill out for a floor vote potential with either a favorable report or an unfavorable report. Well, favorable means it can go forward. Unfavorable means it was not passed out of committee. So it got a favorable report. School choice is looking like it's on track to become a thing. And don't forget, Alabama, we did this last year. I just right before we went on the show, I found that the state of Alabama now ranks as number 11 in the nation for what is known as the education freedom standings. ALEC, which is a conservative state legislature sort of organization, I think it's called the American Legislative Something Council. Anyway, the ALEC came out with this year's rankings of education freedom. Out of all the states, Alabama ranks number 11 because of what we passed last year with the CHOOSE Act. The CHOOSE Act, which basically just gives parents the rights to have access to the funds they've been paying in taxes to do what they think is best for their kids' education. You can, for the first 2 years, the CHOOSE Act allows you, for those with a lower income, to have access to literal cash accounts. Like the state will give you, I think it's up to $7,000 to go to private school or another public school or the expenses related thereto, or $4,000 for homeschool. I think I'm quoting that correctly. But the CHOOSE Act went into effect this month, and they had overwhelming amounts of signups. Like 2,500 people signed up for it on day one. Day one! So yeah, you can type in, if you're in Alabama and you're a parent and you want to take advantage of, all you have to do is be a resident here, then you go to the CHOOSE Act online. There's a website for the State Department of Revenue. They'll square you away. All right. Just so you know, too, Tennessee, neck deep in it. Governor Bill Lee called for it, and he brought it up. And theirs is called the Education Freedom Act of 2025. And they're in the middle of their legislative session right now. And like I said, Tennessee lawmakers are working hard on it. I'm actually very hopeful. Corey DeAngelis, who has been on this show several times, Corey DeAngelis is a national figure. He calls himself a school choice evangelist. I mean, he's literally been one of those driving forces around the nation on the issue. Pointed out that President Donald Trump just put out a statement on his own Truth Social platform about this this morning, actually. No, yesterday afternoon, saying congratulations to Tennessee legislators who are working hard to pass school choice this week, which I totally support. Trump went on to say, we will very soon be sending education back to the states where it belongs. It is our goal to bring education in the United States to the highest level, one that it has never attained before, make America great again. Okay, if that happens, if Trump can truly say, no more U.S. Department of Education, no more centralized control, no more stupid crap like, oh, I don't know, trying to do away with Title IX and let transgenders be playing in sports. No more. Just send the money to the states and say, states, do the best you can with what you got. And then you're going to see Alabama start rising because they're not going to have all these stringers attached to it. No more stupid programs coming down from on high and centralized curriculum choices. You're going to see things happen more at a state level. And then it's all on us, by the way. If we fail, we fail on our own.
By the way, Republican lawmakers have introduced a nationwide school choice bill in Congress as of yesterday. Not sure who's sponsoring that bill, but
no kidding.
We'll see if that that comes up to
see if you can find out whether any of Alabama's delegation signed on to that. That'd be good. All right, right here in Alabama, we're going to be coming up in a minute with a phone call with our friend Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. But 1819 News has a story. See, our state legislature goes in next week for what is known as the regular session. They meet every year, roughly at this time. It kind of flexes a little bit on the start date, but the reality is it's roughly this time, and they'll spend the next several months down in the state capitol at least 3 days a week doing committee work and passing bills on the state and House and Senate floors. The state House just came out with what they call their Alabama Values Legislative Agenda. Now, this is interesting. I don't argue with any of it. It's a package of what I would call more like principles. They didn't name a single bill. Okay, that's not an agenda. That's just like a set of things we care about. They said they care about prioritizing election integrity, about border security, about care for service members and veterans, about strengthening public education, about increasing pro-life causes, and advancing what they call common sense. And I look at that and think, that's wonderful, but what exactly does it mean? What are you going to do? Well, they say at the end of the session, they'll tell us what they did about those things. Okay, be guided by principle, but y'all, I want to know what you're going to do. Coming up next, we'll talk about that with Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on Hump Day, right here at the middle of the week. Listen, I'm doing a segment right now we like to call Home Fries. We say it facetiously, but what we're saying is sometimes what happens right here at home in your state, in your locale, it can have more impact on your life than anything that comes out of D.C. Well, a lot of that, too, can come from your state legislatures. Somebody who knows it as well as anybody in the world, because she's been in the mix down there for quite a while, is our friend Stephanie Smith. She's the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, where I am proud to still be a distinguished fellow. And she's got her finger on the pulse of what's happening in our state capitol right now. Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm actually, I didn't tell you this, but I'm actually at the state capitol right now.
I figured.
There's a little pre-gaming going on, and I don't mean in the fun way. So lots of meetings happening, lots of things, trying to get on agendas, trying to move some bills forward. So all that happens even before they get here.
Listen, I didn't say I was going to ask you. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Sure.
What about access to the governor's office? Because in the past, API, we used to have access to the governor's office, and I feel like that's waned in recent years because there's been a difficult time trying to get through to CK Ivy. Have you had any opportunity to meet with the governor's staff?
I have. Yeah. Great. You know, we worked really closely with the governor's staff on our school choice bill on the CHOOSE Act last year, and we're working pretty closely with them on a few bills again this year. So that's been refreshing. And her staff, you know, they're really focused on the governor's long-term legacy, and some of our bills fit right into that. It's been good to work together with them more so than we have in the recent past.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, listen, right before you came on, right before the break, I brought up a story as part of the segment here from 1819 News. It came out yesterday. The title, you probably saw it, the title of it is House GOP Caucus here in Alabama. The House GOP Caucus launches its Alabama Values Legislative Agenda for 2025. And I read the article, and while I don't disagree with anything they said, and I've often said that sometimes principle matters more than policy because principle guides policy, they did was say these are things we stand for. They didn't name a single bill. So what do you know about this? Where are they headed right now in the House? Do you know?
Yeah, they actually set up kind of a little, I don't know what they called it, but it was a committee, basically, that met in the off season to come up with agenda items. I know a few people who were on that committee, and the thought process, I think, was that they were going to do these overarching values and then only really push forward with bills that fit under one of those umbrellas. And so I was super interested to see, you know, what those topics were. They were pretty broad, Yeah. But so, I mean, you know, you can make an argument for some, you know, lots of different bills under the headings. But I really think from talking to some folks down here, they're going to, I think that their inclination is to take a cue from what's happening in D.C. I do think that they're more focused on crime and immigration than they have been in recent years. Yeah. Those things come up in almost every conversation. But they're also taking a cue from what's happening with DOGE and paying attention to how big our bureaucracy is, how much we're taxing, how much we're spending. And frankly, I mean, for you and me, you know, who have been talking about these things for decades, it's pretty refreshing to hear people asking the right questions.
Yeah, it is. It means that you feel like they're actually keyed in and paying attention. And I don't know if you heard my opening monologue. I know you're probably busy with meetings, but when the show started off today, I pointed out mm-hmm. that Republican supermajorities in Florida, Alabama, Tennessee are all considering things right now that they have the wind at their back on all of it. And they can. Yeah. This is a year when they could get cultural issues, fiscal issues, beating back soft on crime issues, and do all the mm-hmm. things that they say they care about when they campaign. They could do it this year because the public sentiment is absolutely in their favor.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, especially in a state like Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, with the numbers so strong for President Trump, there's a pretty clear mandate nationwide, but it's even more clear in Alabama. And so that's what I've been talking to folks about. And even, you know, on some of the social issues, you know, Alabama was way out front on some of these gender issues.
Yep.
and got some pushback for it, frankly. And so now basically the rest of the world has come around to the Alabama value of, hey guys, maybe this isn't the best thing for adolescents, you know, to have exchange operations, et cetera. So, you know, some of the social issues are also coming around. And so it's been a nice sea change to see. But as you know, talk is cheap and the rubber hits the road starting next week.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what they actually accomplish. I'd like to see them pay closer scrutiny, to the budgets. And, you know, they've done a good job of putting money away, and not just spending it on, you know, nonsense for the most part. There's definitely some fluff in there, but they've done a good job of putting money away in these savings accounts. But we're still in a budget surplus, even with putting basically $4 billion away in one pot of money, you know, one pot or another. And, you know, to me, the time is ripe for making sure we're spending the money on the right things and then also considering a more broad tax cut.
Yeah, people don't realize, too often don't realize that Alabama is actually a very solvent state. We have a balanced budget requirement in our state constitution, and because of mm-hmm. things we've been able to do over the last decade, we actually have reserve accounts in both our education and general fund budgets right now that give right. us, basically give us surplus. They give us buffer or cushion, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And not every state can say that.
That's right. And they've kind of, you know, not to jinx us, but proration proofed us. And that was, you know, when I started in Alabama politics, that was not the case. Proration was every 2 or 3 years. They've done a good job of being conservative and putting money away. But you know, we'll see what happens in a Trump economy instead of a Biden economy. I mean, Lord willing, you know, and the extra dose or doses of freedom, you know, actually generate some economic development. And so, you know, we need to just make sure that we have systems in place to where we're returning the money to the people or not taking it from them in the first place.
I totally agree. Well, hey, listen, let me ask you this with about 5 minutes here. Mm-hmm. I mean, every year there's usually some signature piece or pieces of legislation. And then there's always the ones, too, that people don't realize how much time is spent in Montgomery beating bad legislation.
Right.
So what do you see on the pro and the con list coming up that you guys at the Policy Institute are keyed in on?
Yeah, so the things that we're working really hard on, like I said, are kind of the taxing and spending issues. You know, we championed that overtime tax cut. That's something that President Trump has proposed on a nationwide basis.
Yeah.
We'd like to see that and a more broad corporate or both income tax cut or movement toward that. Occupational licensing is always on our list, as you know, and
yes.
I think that we're getting really close to making a breakthrough on that. And we're really looking, especially with all the information that we're getting from the public on this ALDOGE initiative that we're doing, we're really looking toward creating increased transparency on federal grant programs, federal money, and also state grant and state programs, just making sure that there's accountability in place and transparency in place for every single dollar that's spent of the taxpayers' money. And then, there are other things that, smaller issues, but also important issues like mandating a live streaming open meetings. I think that, technology has increased the public's ability to be part of the things that are going on in Montgomery. Some people like that. Some people don't like that. But I do think that that's something that could be really beneficial for the people to actually know what's happening.
Yeah, I think that's huge, and I think you're right. And I think that the more people see what's there, like when I first got elected, there was no way for the public to watch or listen to the machinations on the Senate floor. We put a camera and audio in for the first time, and my wife used to text me and tell me to smile more when I was at the podium because she was watching it.
But exactly.
But what it did though was it opened up transparency, and that kind of thing, you can't get enough of that in government.
That's right. Yeah, when I first started, which is aging me, but when I first started, you had to be in a state building. So you had to be in the state capitol or in the state house, and it's basically like a old school, grandma's house intercom system. And you could listen in to one chamber or one specific room or another. But, technology, there are a lot of negative things about technology. We're working on a bill to help protect kids from online predators and online things that they shouldn't be seeing, but technology is also good that it adds that level of transparency, and so we think that state government should adhere to that as well.
All right, so what bill do you want to kill this year? Like, are they talking about gambling again? What are we going to do? And what do you see out there that the Policy Institute's going, got to stop that one?
Yeah, I mean, the two big things that I think that will be at least discussed are Medicaid expansion and gambling. And we're, obviously against both of those, have been for decades.
Yep.
Yes, there's some talk about gambling. There's not as much talk about gambling this year as there was last year. But I also know where we are in the quadrennium, and so we're working full bore on that and really trying to get information out to legislators, lawmakers, and just the general public on the dangers of specifically digital betting and sports betting.
Yeah.
Because much like the other issues we're talking about with those transparency issues and even the protection of kids, gambling has changed with the technology. And so if you pass one type of bill, you might get digital betting. If you pass another type of bill, you might accidentally get sports betting on everybody's phones or devices. And so that type of betting is highly addictive and really dangerous, especially for adolescent boys. And so we're trying to get that data and information into the hands of lawmakers.
I think that's huge. And I saw there was actually, I've forgotten which show it was now, maybe Chicago PD or something, one of the shows that, that highlights, criminal activity. And it had it had this entire scenario where these three dads were all about the sports betting, and they even had their own podcast about it, and they were all in. Mm-hmm. And then they were trying to sue somebody for putting extra charges on their account that they say they didn't do. And it turns out it was their kids at home who were just doing what dad did. And it totally changed the whole dynamic of their conversation when they realized that, our kids got our passcodes and began gambling at the age of 11.
And unfortunately, those shows, are a reflection of real life.
Yeah.
That stuff is happening, and it's pretty difficult to wake up and see that you created that kind of problem. So we're trying to keep that out of Alabama. We know that people are doing it illegally, but for the state to condone and encourage it is something completely different than something happened illegally behind closed doors.
Is the What Is a Woman Act going to pass this year? Is that in line?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I think it is.
I believe it will pass. I believe it's a priority in the House. Obviously, Susan Dubose has done a great job working on that for the last. This will be her third year working on it, and our third year of helping her work on it.
Yep.
So Yeah, I think that that bill will pass. Unfortunately, it's necessary. It's absolute silliness that it's necessary, but here we are. So we're going to make sure that we protect women and girls.
And I'll be honest with
statute.
You. I'll be honest with you. Shame on them for taking 3 years to get it passed. My gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, when you watch Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson getting confirmed and she can't name what a woman is, that should tell you the Supreme Court's heading down roads that we need to clarify at the state level. But
that's right. And really what that bill does is just clarifies the literal definition of man, woman, boy, girl, mother, father. And it just makes sure that, you know, those definitions are what have been used for over 2,000 years instead of what has been developed over the last just handful of years. So, yeah, she's done a fantastic job with that. But my sense is that bill moves quickly.
Well, my friend, you've done a fantastic job with the Policy Institute. And I'm going to probably call you later on because I got some DOGE ideas that I'm going to share with you.
But, oh, good. I know you do. That's awesome.
But in the meantime, tell folks where they can find out more about what y'all are doing.
Yeah, you can find us on all the social media outlets at Alabama Policy. And then also our website is alabamapolicy.org.
All right. Stephanie Smith, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. All right. We're taking a break. I ran long because it was just, I mean, we could have talked for another half hour. But yeah, the Alabama Policy Institute. If you want to do a deep dive on what's happening in your state capital, Alabama Policy for Alabama, Beacon Center for Tennessee, check them out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I'm saying, just making common sense like a superpower. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Giving you all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker. Bulletproof influence. Yeah, all those things. Speaking of bulletproof influence, you've seen them, haven't you?
They look pretty sick, yeah.
They do. All right, so the right now the plan is we believe we'll be able to open up the new Right Side, the Right Side Media merch store online next week. We got shirts, we got coffee mugs, we got hats, and we got some highball glasses that are out of this world. So if you haven't seen them yet, just wait. But they're basically it's a glass with the Right Side Media logo etched in it, and it also says Bulletproof Influence, and there's a bullet wedged into the glass itself, like the glass got shot but it didn't break. It's just cool.
This is very cool.
I mean, we were ordering merch and picking things out. I like that coffee mug. Let's do those shirts, and then I saw those things and I said, nobody else has got these.
Yeah.
we always say Bulletproof Influence, so why not? By the way, I've got to chase a rabbit. I got to chase another rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw this today. Senator Mike Lee, did you see the post he put up about? And this is totally off my topic. Okay.
Well, we got like a 2 minute segments here, so might as well.
This is where in the floor of the Senate, I would say, Madam President, I would like a request a moment of personal privilege. Senator, you are recognized, and I just say what I want to say. Did you see this letters of marquee and reprisal? Have you seen that?
No.
So back in, 1787 or something, James Madison issued a letter of marque. It's still in U.S. law. It can be used to this day. It allows, during a time of national emergency, for privateers to be commissioned by the U.S. government to go after enemies of our state from a private perspective and reap the benefits thereof. And they're saying now, how about we do that and lead the drug cartels?
That's an idea.
And next thing you know, like you got a bunch of retired operators going, dude, we got a gig.
I didn't even think about that.
And next thing you know, it's privateers, but it's a whole. So privateers walking through the jungles of South America, just kicking in doors and doing what they got to do.
I mean, it's
seizing bank accounts.
It's better than, you know, our own military declaring war on the cartels. I think this is maybe a better route to go.
Letters of marque and reprisal. Can this happen?
Maybe get some former teams guys.
I want to be a pirate. Yes, I am a pirate. 200 years too late. The cannons don't thunder. There's nothing to plunder. I'm an over 40 victim of fate. And then Senator Mike Lee dropped in letters of marque and reprisal. I'm for it.
I'm too.
Just call me a buccaneer, man. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. I'm going to finish this section up, and then I got a bunch of text messages. And don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we will have the latest round of the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. I got to remind you guys also, the latest edition of the Right Philosophy podcast came out today. Am I correct? It came out today?
Yep.
It did. The Right Philosophy podcast. That one's mine. I filmed that at my house, in my study at home. The quality, just, I mean, I'm just so pleased with it. But that's a chance for me to do things sort of like what I do with my monologue that you hear at the beginning of the show, but I can expand on it, spend more time, and talk about things in great detail. So, yeah, the Right Philosophy podcast is just one part of what Right Side Media, the parent company here, puts together. So if you're not familiar, Right Side Media is the company. Right Side Radio that we're on right now is only one of our productions. And then we have multiple podcasts with generated by different contributors, me being one. That's the Right Philosophy. Birdman, that one's called Right Click. It's all about tech and gaming with conservative stuff thrown into it. And then there's the Liberty Minute with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson. And then there's the Controversial Mom with Emily Jones, who founded Moms for Liberty in Madison County. And they're all just, I mean, listen, it's just fun, man. And then we have a whole bunch of stuff, all the writings that get published because of what we do that are published in newspapers all around the region. All I'm saying is this, we got a lot going on. Check them out. You can find out all our stuff on rightsidemedia.org. And you can follow us on YouTube. And yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, y'all go check out the Right Side Media Twitter page as well. We're trying to put more of an emphasis on streaming, you know, events like the confirmation hearings and such. So yeah, go check it out.
And I'm hoping we're going to have that Facebook page back that we were locked out of for the longest time. But
it's putting up a fight.
It's putting up a fight, but we're going to get it back. All right, finishing up home fries here. Cook me up some home fries. Give me a batch of home fries. You ready? Thank you. Cook them up. So Alabama's Attorney General Steve Marshall. By the way, Alabama and Tennessee both have attorney generals that have been kicking it. Steve Marshall, he came out against Costco. I did not see this coming, except that Costco apparently is super liberal. Now we're finding out. I mean, go figure. They're all about capitalism and marketing and, you know, and free market, and but they really, really, really want their DEI.
I was always more of a Sam's person. Until I find out they're woke, too.
Oh, God. Well, at least Walmart has backed off of their DEI stuff, right?
So is Target, yeah.
Yeah. So on Monday, Attorney General Steve Marshall's story on 1819 News again came out yesterday afternoon. Steve Marshall and 18 other state attorneys general called on Costco to end their DEI policies. So, yeah, this is the thing, man. You've got the Supreme Court ruling against DEI. You've got the federal government working against DEI. And then you got Costco saying, we want more DEI. Okay. So we have the attorney general saying inexplicably, Costco has doubled down on DEI. Last month, Costco's board of directors unanimously recommended that shareholders vote against a proposal that would require them to report on the financial risks that they incur by having DEI policies. Meaning, the board of directors is like, hey, shh, it may cost us money, but don't tell the shareholders. Well, that's why the attorneys general are involved. Because if you have shareholders in a company that is doing things that hurt those shareholders, if you have board of directors that is hurting their own shareholders, the attorney general has a right to say, you know what, that's bad form, and we can't let you hurt our people. And so what you got right now is Costco's board of directors literally saying, yeah, sorry for your luck, but we're going to keep on doing DEI, but shh, don't tell anybody. Don't make us have to report whether it costs money.
That sounds illegal.
Well, that's why the attorney general's involved. Thank you very much. By the way, did you see Al Sharpton?
Yeah.
Race baiter and charlatan extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. He's like King Charlatan. So he staged a buy-in. Had a big old buy-in. Took a whole bunch of folks from his National Action Network to the Harlem Costco, and they marched through there looking like they had something going on. Every one of them had a $25 gift certificate, went in there to buy something in support of Costco, because Costco is all about DEI. And why that's a Al Sharpton thing, that should tell you everything you want to know about DEI.
Well, if any liberals are going to boycott companies leaving DEI, they're going to good luck finding anywhere else to shop. Because I feel like almost all of them are. Costco is kind of an exception. I feel like a lot of them are going back on it, like Target and Walmart and such. So, yeah, if you want to go on that strike, then good luck finding places to shop.
I'll just be buying my outdoor stuff at Tractor Supply now that they've recanted their position. Yeah, it's nuts. And listen, this is falling by the wayside. It's crumbling. DEI and ESG, the environmental social governance stuff, and CRT, the critical race theory, all of that crap has begun to collapse under its own weight. Because it sounds really neat in theory, and when the liberals press you for it, you've got to have more of it, and then you realize you can't make a profit when you do it. It's kind of hard to maintain a company in the private sector. I mean, in the government, they can do DEI all they want to and just take the taxpayer dollar and keep paying for it. But in the private sector, you got to actually cut a payroll. You got to show a profit for your shareholders or you lose your job.
Capitalism always wins.
Capitalism will correct the market every time if we let it. All you got to do is get out of the way. And by the way, I say that. That's why. See, now I'm going on a roll here. That's why what happened with electric vehicles has been such a debacle, because it was the government trying to pick the winners and losers.
Yeah.
It wasn't the government letting the free market do its thing. It was literally the government saying, you will make a product like this. And the manufacturers were like, okay, but is anybody going to buy it? That's not our concern. Okay, now we're losing money. Well, it's too bad for your luck. It's very important. No, it's too bad for your luck. We're going to self-correct. And they did.
I mean, if the market got to a place where EVs outcompete, everybody else, then so be it. But, you know, like you said, it's like the government knows best crowd. It's not true.
Can you imagine? And this is my analogy of why EV mandates from the Biden administration were so awful. Can you imagine if 25 years ago someone said, everyone will have a smartphone and you will have it by next year?
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have had them. They wouldn't work. So the whole cellular phone, if you look at the growth of the cellular phone, it is exactly what the free market is designed to do. It started off as a big old bag that you carried and you plugged into your car and you had to have a separate antenna for it. And some people had it and it was neat and it would work only in certain towns. And then it kind of got a little bit bigger and people realized that you could have cell service, but you had to buy certain packages and that's all you could do was call, but you only turned your phone on when you had to use it. Otherwise you were quote unquote burning your minutes. And then the plans got a little more complete as the spread of cell phone coverage got bigger. And then there were competing companies each having different packages. And then all of a sudden manufacturers are like, hey, have you ever tried texting? What's texting? And then all of a sudden, everybody's texting. Well, now texting is a whole new thing. Can we send pictures? But you want to send pictures? Let us work on that. And then next thing you know, they got internet access and they quit doing flip phones you can keep in your pocket. Now you got this little brick with a TV screen on it. But it does more stuff than the people who went to the moon had in their lunar lander. And it all took about 25 years to come together. But it was the constant build the better mousetrap. And the government was not in the way except to make sure they didn't cheat people. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. And next thing you know, the industry did what the industry does. And we're going to one day have something that we like just, you know, pop up with a hologram in our hand or something and it's going to be cool. But right now, this is the top of the line. And it wouldn't have been there if the government had gotten in the way and told the manufacturers what to do. And that's what they did with EVs.
Yeah.
How did we get on that?
I don't know. It was a good rabbit hole, you know. I'm not one of those EV haters either. I think the Teslas are awesome.
Oh,
they're sick. You know, I have a friend whose dad is big into Tesla, and I asked him the other day. I was like, "When's your dad gonna buy a Cybertruck? I want to ride one of those." You know, I think they're cool, but like you said, it's just the government, you know, mandating is the issue.
And I think, truthfully, if you want one, go get one.
Yeah.
Just understand that I don't want to pay for your charging station.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I'm not ready to have one yet. I am not convinced that they are where I need to be for the travels that I want to have. But I'm also of the firm belief that if you want it, let's do an all of the above. And the market will drive people that want it to it, and it'll build what they need, and they won't have these surplus lots full of cars they can't sell. And right now, like Ford posted a $5 billion loss.
Yeah.
Just unreal. Make a whole video out of this discussion we just had today, brother.
Oh, that was good.
All right, let's do it. All right, tell you what, I got one more thing here, just so you know, in terms of what's happening in home fries. Alabama's Senator Katie Britt had a major coup, and good on her. It was for all the right reasons. This was not one of those things where she just, like, got her way, and, well, I guess she got her way. No, this is a great, the Laken Riley Act. Trump just signed it. We watched as Senator Katie Britt, who's been on the show multiple times, sat right here in the studio with us, was there for Trump signing the Laken Riley Act. The very first piece of legislation he signed came out of Alabama's U.S. Senator Katie Britt's efforts to get a piece of legislation passed that will help secure the border and make it something that makes families more secure, because criminal illegal aliens will be detained, period. Like, period, and deported, period. And, oh, by the way, they even made it where the states can sue the federal government related to immigration issues if the federal government is not enforcing the law. It's a whole new day, y'all. But the Laken Riley Act just passed. Thank you, Senator Brett, for your effort on that. And, yeah, and thank you, President Trump, for signing it with Laken Riley's family there present when he did.
Yeah, Katie Britt's been killing it.
She has. There.
And I know there's still people who think she's a rhino, which I find funny.
I
but,
do, too.
You know, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, she worked for Senator Shelby. Okay. You know what? There's a lot of Army officers that work for Milley that are warriors. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to explain that, but I will say that there has been nothing yet, and I'll call it when I see it.
Yeah, I will too. I'll be the first one.
As soon as she screws up, I'll go, why'd she do that?
But so far, she's been like, I mean, she's been one of the most productive senators up there, not even just on the Republican side, and she's from Alabama, so.
Yeah, like that. All right, I got a bunch of text messages. First, I'm going to take a break. I'll come right back, and I'll get caught up on text, because you guys are some texting machines. Text me. Tell me what you got. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. I got a bunch of text messages. You guys are some texting machines. Let me catch up with a few of those. By the way, first, one of the first ones I'll look back on is David from Bucky said, JP War Eagle. Just,
I don't know what prompted that, but all right.
Scott from Athens earlier, I think I read that one. He said, great monologue today, Phil. He said, in light of today's RFK hearing, I would like to pass on this quote from Ronald Reagan, 1961. He said, quote, one of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. And then Scott from Athens goes on to say, so here's to all the kids that can't take a face bath in peanut butter or snort a gallon of milk, and those precious kids that flap their hands. Okay, well, there you go. Shorty from Anderson says, hey, Phil, that was an amazing monologue. As always, keep up the good work, brother. Thank you, man. I appreciate that very much. If you missed the monologue, you can always catch it again on the podcast. Tons of people do. As a matter of fact, where are we right now? Are we how close to 300,000 downloads are we on the main podcast for the show on Podbean?
Look that up right
Yeah,
now.
Look that up while I'm doing that.
We are at 278,000 all time.
278,000. Okay. David from Taft, Tennessee, again. Oh, we already did that one. Thanks for Tennessee issues, he said. Where we got? John from Huntsville. There he is. He says, Phil, awesome monologue. Also, did you hear about the terrible trending story of a spectator being killed by a stray hammer that was thrown at a Colorado? I did not. Mm-hmm. No. At a track and field event. That's who throw? Oh, the hammer throw for a track and field. Oh, okay. Now I understand. But even still, I thought you were saying that. Listen, we used to have a problem. I used to live in England for a brief period of time, and the hooligans that would go to soccer games, they would take darts. They throw darts in the crowd. I mean, just like, good Lord. But no, I did not hear that, and that's horrible. Bobby from Huntsville, he says, Sean Duffy, who just sworn in today as Department of Transportation Secretary, Duffy's daughter does a podcast for Dan Bongino at 9 a.m. I didn't know that.
I think I heard some about that, yeah.
Is it any good?
I haven't heard the podcast itself, but I did hear that, yeah.
Okay. Jeff Rowe from Indiana says, Phil, speaking of things in your backyard, talking about home fries, he said, I just passed the Alabama Welcome Center and they don't have a launch pad, much less a rocket. Any news on that? I do not have any news on that. In fact, I need to call my source on that and see if he has any news, because he was the activist guy who was working to get it all put together. Thanks for reminding me, Jeff. I'll check in on that. I miss our rocket. Lee from Huntsville checking in said these Republican overarching goals give me a, quote, let's keep it very broad so we can claim wins no matter what passes kind of energy. Yeah, that's exactly my point. Said I found that Alabama has a lot of special interests that demand attention. We'll see if we get a lot of real wins this session. They've got a chance. They got a chance to do some really good stuff, Lee. We'll wait and see what they do. Lewis, and we'll talk about them when they do, one way or the other. Lewis from Trinity, Alabama, says, I saw that FBI episode. I was thinking about it when y'all were talking about it. Oh, the one I was talking about. Is that what it was? The thing about the kids gambling? Absolutely. Lewis from Trinity, if you don't mind, remind me exactly what show we're talking about. Because I know I saw it, but I can't place the show. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama, says, sounds like Blackwater on steroids. Sign me up. Oh, yeah, the whole thing about, yeah, yeah. He's talking about the privateer thing. Yeah. Letters of marque and reprisal shall be issued, and you shall go ye therefore and become a privateer. I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm for it, too. The cartels need to, I can tell, or I've seen at least they're ramping up, going after, whatever, planes and stuff and shooting. They're becoming more active and upset. Listen, that Trump's in and shutting down the border.
There's a whole side of me that just wants to put on boots and go somewhere.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I'm old.
I know,
but
I just say.
But I still feel like, what are you about to say? Just stop while you can, JP. Just stop while you can. Ian from Hartsell, Alabama says, I appreciate hearing my favorite Buffett lyric. That's one of my favorite lyrics of any song. He's talking about when I quoted from A Pirate Turns 40, or A Pirate Looks at 40. It's a great song. I'm going to quote it again. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am a pirate. 200 years too late. The cannons don't thunder. There's nothing to plunder. I'm an over 40 victim of fate. And then John from Harvest says, Phil, loved the Jimmy Buffett reference. Are you, matey? Yes, indeed. Make way, yo-ho. All right, Kenan from Huntsville says, I fired Costco for being mask Nazis. Yeah, they were. They were big on the mask back during COVID, weren't they?
Yeah.
There were so many stupid things that happened during COVID. You put that face diaper on. I mean, you got to look at it. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, can I say this on the air? I think I will. I'll just say it nicer. How about that? My brother, your uncle,
yeah,
said to me one day, he said, I know for a fact that masks don't work during COVID. And I said, yeah? And he goes, if I can pass gas while I'm wearing pants and you can smell it, that tells you right now that this doesn't work.
That's like a great analogy for it. Well, even Fauci himself was caught saying masks don't work before COVID happened. But then all of a sudden he had a change of heart. Funny how that works.
And then you had people that would mask up and triple mask up.
I still see people wearing masks. I'm like, people, are you ever going to move? Eventually you got to move on.
They became like Pavlov dogs. They react to stimuli. That's all they do. Costco is a Washington State company, says Jack from Athens. Been liberal for a long time. My thought is the government ought to stay out of businesses. I agree. Brian from Huntsville. Letters of marque. I finally want to buy a boat. I'm saying. We're in, man. Let's get her done. Bunch of retired door kickers ready to go to work. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, we got the Grand Council with Jeff and Dale. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number 3 on Hump Day. And you know what that means when we're on Wednesday. We had the camel plane at the beginning of the show, but come up around the 4 o'clock hour, we got a thing we call the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing this longer than I have, and we just do a round robin of questions, pinging each other to see where we stand. So let me just call the roll, see if we got a quorum. I'll look south first from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, he's the 1819 News Editor-in-Chief. That would be Jeff Poor. Are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Glad of it. All right, looking north to Huntsville. I'm looking at 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting's host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, he does a whole lot of stuff with Yellowhammer and even has a gig on TV. Dale Jackson, are you there?
Oh!
All right, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right. Hey, before we get started, I have to go ahead and honor a moment this week and point out that Dale Jackson had a colonoscopy, and for the first time in recorded memory, he was not full of crap. So that's...
Waka, 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 waka.
You so deserve that. You know, you know it's true. And in honor of your clean as a whistle moment there, I'm giving you the first question. What do you got?
Another guy who's full of crap, Mark Milley.
Yeah.
He found himself on the end of Donald Trump revenge tour, which I don't know if it's even bad to do this. But he said, hey, look, you spent the last part of my presidency working with the Red Chinese, and then you spent the next 4 years trying to put me in jail.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I punish you? Take your security clearance away and your security away as well. And you know what? I might demote you a little bit. You can't go to war with the president of the United States and lose and expect there to be no penalty. He's not going to shake your hand and say good game and call it a day. That's how this is going to work.
Yeah,
what is Milley thinking complaining about?
And here's the interesting dynamic here. This is one of the recipients of the illustrious preemptive pardon from Joe Biden. Well, you don't have to have any concerns about a pardon to revoke a security clearance. That's in the power of the presidency. And what happens with these generals so often is they leave office or leave their positions in the military, and they get scarfed up working on, you know, sometimes secret and top secret projects, making big money with the defense industry. He will no longer have clearance level to be able to work on those projects, which means it just limited his retirement income. And then dropping a star, that also limits his retirement income.
He's just going to be a pundit anyway.
Yeah, he's, you know what? He may wind up being a pundit, but he's on MSNBC. I doubt if they're going to have him on Fox. And if they do, it's going to be as the beater boy. But we'll see. Jeff, your thoughts on Milley?
Well, I mean, yes, to be expected. I think that's true across the board for a lot of never Trumper types who picked the fight with Trump. But I guess they miscalculated this. The left. And permanent Washington miscalculated this to such an extent that I don't think they had a plan B. But now, you and I talked about this all throughout the campaign. You look at Kamala Harris. I mean, was that where you were going to put all of your future and all of your future earnings predicated on her winning the presidency, and Donald Trump not coming in, taking away security clearances, firing people? And wrecking your career? I mean, I think they should have maybe moderated a little bit, but they never would.
Well, they totally underestimated the American people. They thought that lawfare would get him. They thought that they could just crush his soul. They thought they'd bankrupt him, and then somebody thought they'd shoot him. But the reality is, they totally underestimated the American voter, and now he's back. And yes, Mr. Four-Star General. Who called China and who spoke out against the commander in chief and who presided without ever resigning over the debacle in Afghanistan, you're going to lose your clearance, and it's just too bad for your luck. Any further thoughts on that, Dale?
Well, I just think it's kind of silly that, like Jeff said, you're banking on all this stuff with Kamala Harris, and they just thought they could walk away from it all because that's exactly how things have worked before.
Yep.
Times have changed. Vengeance is here, baby.
Make retribution cool again. All right, so let me take one here. I saw this story you guys did on 1819 about the Montgomery Museum of Fine Arts. So I don't get it. This is a crazy story, but the bottom line is the Montgomery Museum of Fine Arts apparently had a billboard that had a picture, a backdrop picture of the, you know, Bloody Sunday events and the Civil Rights Movement, and right over the top of it were the words, "Make America Great Again." And apparently it's freaked everybody out. And they're having a called special board meeting to attend to the issue. And I don't understand. What the heck, Jeff? What is going on down there with the museum?
Well, they had a special board meeting. They denied our reporter entry. But we tend to think, we believe this, they violated the Open Meetings Act. They can't do that because they are a public facility. They take money from, the state, from the county. So we think they violated the law by denying our reporter entry. But I would just say this. I don't know what went on behind closed doors and why they chose to go this route, but there are some rumblings there. And I don't know what's going to happen. They're going to fire somebody or what, but it's not going to go unnoticed. It's not going to go missed. This was a gross overreach by the Montgomery Museum of Fine Art.
So were they, let me ask you this, were they slighting Trump by doing it this way, or were they aligning themselves with Trump by doing it this way?
Come on, I mean, you don't use the Selma imagery in such a way without, you could make the argument either way, but you're not going to convince me that a bunch of probably liberal museum curators or interns or whoever thought this was a good idea weren't thinking negatively toward Donald Trump.
What you think, Dale?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's exactly right. They were thinking, okay, how can we rub this in the face of well over half of the constituency here in this area and try to make a political statement? Look how clever we're being. We're smart. Aren't we smart? Look how smart we are. Oh, wait, they caught us? Oh, man. That was an accident. Sorry.
Is it only one billboard, or is there a bunch of them?
There's a bunch of them.
Defund them. I mean, anything they get from taxpayer dollars should be stripped at this point. It's ridiculous.
We know of one on Highway 80 between Selma and Montgomery, but there's a bunch of others, we are told.
Holy cow. All right, Jeff, your question. What do you got?
Hey, I'm a little underwhelmed by the Democrat response thus far to everything Donald Trump is doing. It's the same tired playbook. None of this stuff has worked. It didn't work with the November 5th election, but yet they're doing the same thing. Pretend you're a Democrat for a moment. What would you tell them to do to counter the Donald Trump's movement at this rate of speed?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I heard Britt Hume the other night. He had a great commentary, just very kind of dry wit. And he said, you know, here's an idea, fellas. Before you start screaming about something, why don't you go ahead and make sure it's one of those things that's not real popular first? And because it's like they're yelling into a room full of Trump supporters constantly, trying to make that make a difference. And racism doesn't work, and fascism doesn't work, and he's going to defund granny and do away with Medicaid and crush the American soul doesn't work. What would I do if I was a Democrat? I think what I'd be doing is begging for some of the idiots to please shut up and let us get our feet under us and try to find an agenda that we can get something accomplished and point to. But right now, you're right. I mean, it's been tepid. They're on their heels. They don't know what to do. I don't think they ever saw it starting off this fast. I think they knew it was going to happen, but they didn't know it was going to happen in the first week. Dale?
All you have to do is look towards Alabama. You got the mayor of Birmingham tweeting about the price of eggs because he's an imbecile and can do no better. You have Tabitha Eisner, the number two Democrat in the state, tweeting about her wedding ring needing to be fixed, which is a metaphor for infrastructure, which is completely insane. I'm going to read it to you guys. Infrastructure is everything. My wedding ring kept breaking. Jeweler said we could save the stones, but the platinum structure had to be completely replaced, save what's still beautiful. There's a lesson there for the Democratic Party. Wait, no. It's better. In Montgomery, we have less public transit now than we did at the time of the bus boycott. Senator Linda Coleman has filed SB 11, a bill that adds $5 to the annual cost of vehicle registration to fund Alabama Transportation Trust Fund, currently not funded at all. I mean, these people are just lost. They're at the same thing. Tax more. Build. They give us money. They're completely lost. They have nothing to say, nothing to do with
it. You know, one of the only examples I've seen in the last few years of the Democrats in Alabama grabbing hold of something that actually made sense and made good inroads was Representative Anthony Daniels with his overtime tax cut. And that actually made sense. He came on my show. I had people texting going, are you sure he's a Democrat? He's certainly a Democrat. But that one thing, they're going to have to find an issue that actually gets them back into the good graces of what I would call the more populist and, oh, by the way, majority base. But your own question, Jeff, what are you thinking?
Oh, it's simple. You got to make it personal. You've got to bait Trump into doing something dumb. Talk about the size of his penis or something and get him rolling. I mean, I think you've got to get him off message, off script, and that moves him away from what he's doing now. They're not doing that. They're going with the stupid, I don't know, Project 2025, as if anybody knows what the hell that is. So I just watch this every day. I have all three cable news channels on. I know the playbook, and they're just doing the same thing. It's not going to work.
Well, and on that anatomical note, I think we're going to go ahead and take a break. So, all right, round one, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. We call it the Grand Council. We'll take a break. We'll come right back and figure out what other parts of the anatomy we can talk about. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Going right back with round two of the Grand Council. First question, round two, Dale Jackson, what you got? Did we lose Dale? Dale, unmute yourself. Is he muted?
I think he is.
Sorry about that. Well, my wife is a federal government employee, and I have no respect for her. I do respect government employees greatly, and a lot of them have been told to go back to work, and they're all saying, well, this is undignified. How can you treat us this way? And I just wonder, why do they think they're so damn special? If your boss tells you to go back to work, go back to work. If you don't want to be there, quit. Now they're offering you pay until September. Stop complaining about it.
They are. They're actually, in fact, it's up on the screen right now. I'm looking at it. Trump's offering 8 months worth of buyouts to get federal employees to resign and go to the house or retire early or go get another job and take the cash.
Can I tell you what the general perspective is from the government employees that I know?
Please do. Yes, absolutely.
It's basically this. Only the dumbest people amongst us would take this deal. So please, I hope they do. That is the general perspective.
Well, but at the same time, so the go back to work thing. Listen, it's okay. First of all, you're on the taxpayer dime. I get that there's times when the Teams meeting might work. I get that there's times when Zoom might actually help you be more productive because you don't have to travel across the nation for a meeting. But that's not the way the taxpayers expect you. People want you to have an air of professionalism in what you do. You get up in the morning, fix your bedhead, get out of your flannel pants, and actually go to the office and be there on time and work for the government dime. And there's a lot to be said for that. It's, like I said, it's professionalism, it's excellence, it's big boy rules. So I say, yeah, thank God he finally. I mean, I can't believe they were still out, and we had whole buildings we're paying leases on that were just empty. Jeff,
I know Huntsville's a federal town. I know there's a lot of federal workers, but all those years I lived in D.C. knowing some of the bureaucrats, drinking with them and talking to them. I mean, there was a real sort of pseudo-intellectual elitism. They're the ones who make things happen. It's people like where I grew up in Alabama that ruined it for. I mean, there was just this weird mentality that this is where things happen. It's not even politicians. You guys out in Flyover Land just don't get it. There's an arrogance, and I think that's across the board within the federal bureaucracy, and that's why you're getting so much pushback. Like, well, you don't really know what I do. You don't know that I can't do my job from home. How dare you, sir?
Well, you know, and the worst offenders, the Department of Energy and the Department of Agriculture. The Department of Energy had 0% of their overall employees, thousands, 0% who were in the office 5 days a week. Zero.
And on top of that, the people we're talking to right now, in off WVNN and in Chattanooga, I'm telling you right now, those people, yeah, they're kind of annoyed that they have to go back to work, but I think most of them understand it.
They get it.
The problem is the professional bureaucracy in D.C. You referenced that, but that's where the problem is.
Yeah, yes, I agree. But it's also,
did you see the question Michael Strahan was asked?
It's a leadership issue, though. Dude, what? Michael Strahan?
Did you see the question? Michael Strahan asked a question to the new press secretary and said, well, what about all these doctors and scientists? Aren't they going to quit if they have to go back to work? And the press secretary said, what doctors and scientists are working from home?
And here's
these people have no idea what they're talking about.
Here's the other thing. How do they work with security clearance issues? If they can't be, I mean, every department has security clearance issues and they can't do secure internet, Cipranet at home. What have they been doing for the last 4 years? Anyway, it's get back to work and yeah, quit complaining. Real quick, let me ask you guys, DEI by another name, is it still DEI? And is the state legislature going to, I'm talking state now, is state legislature going to put a little bit of scunion on some of these organizations that are trying to pretend they're not doing DEI anymore? Dale?
City of Huntsville is trying to change theirs back to the Multicultural Affairs Department. I'm telling you, that is the quickest way to have the state government come down and drop the hammer.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that is the quickest way.
UAB is just a classic DEI offender. Jeff, what do you think? Are the state legislature going to do something about it? Did we lose Jeff?
They got to. There's no teeth in the mechanism they have now. The divisive consensus law is garbage, I think. There's a lot of talk, and we'll test it. what happens? Nobody goes to jail. They're not going to, you know, so the Magic City Acceptance Academy is where the line in the sand's going to be drawn, and we'll see what the Alabama legislature does there. I think that they will do something just because they're realizing this is a problem. But number two, Donald Trump's just making it look easy, and they should be making it look easy, too, with supermajorities and statewide constitutional officers at every office.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think that they don't. Then they've just shown who's really in charge. If that's the case, then the bureaucrats win and the legislature can pass laws and people don't have to do anything because it doesn't mean much. And that's just, I mean, listen, they got to fix it because DEI by any other name is still DEI. And we are actually out of time right now. So, fellas, appreciate you both. Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and 1819 News. And just little old me, we call it the Grand Council. Coming up, I got text messages to catch up on, and we'll talk about some other stuff happening around the world. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, we will be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I got text messages and I got a call on line one, so let me grab that. Mark from Harvest. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I wanted to talk just briefly about this billboard about the Selma March.
Yeah.
You know, the news people have spent decades, lifetimes, trying to convince the world that all of those officers, all of those policemen out there swinging batons are Republicans. There's not a single one of them that was a Republican. They were all Democrats.
Yes, they were.
And probably they were either Klan members or they had family members who were Klan members.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like our news people to lie to us about stuff all these years. Tell the truth. These were Democrats that were beating up black people. They weren't Republicans.
You are so right. In fact, I would dare say the Republican Party has been the one that did more to do away with Jim Crow and emancipation of slavery and all of it than the Democrats could ever dream of doing.
Oh, amen about that.
Right.
And having a strong wife is a good thing. I've raised two strong women myself. So
you must have heard my monologue earlier in the week.
Oh, you bet I did. And you know,
it is
that way.
Does your wife ever look at you and say, I say what I say, and that's all you got to do?
I came home for lunch one day, and I was towards the end of the officer advanced course, and I was saying to my wife, and this was like in the 1979, 1980 time frame, and I was thinking, well, you know, I could go to EOD school next because the 1980 election's coming up. There will be lots to do, support for these 1,000 different people who thought they wanted to run for president.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there at the kitchen table, and I'm saying, yeah, I think I'm going to go to EOD school after this. The flatware hit the table. I look up, and my wife says to me, I mean, daggers coming out of her eyes, and she says to me, when do you want to get divorced?
Oh, wow.
and I said, you have strong feelings about this. Yes, I do.
Oh, wow. Well, Mark, nonetheless, you know, thanks for your service, man.
Yeah, so I didn't go to EOD school.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, man, take care. Mark from Harvest, appreciate you calling. Yeah, what a great audience. And we got, you know, I wonder how many veterans, what our percentage of veterans is in our audience. I bet it's significant.
Yeah, I mean, I bet it is a lot.
It's huge. Let me get some text messages and keep some of those going. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. John C. from Madison sent me a Facebook link. I can't open it right now, but thank you, John C. We'll check it out. Mike from Florence says, I never watched South Park until they had the COVID episode showing some real jackassery. Yeah.
They were some of the best South Park episodes.
Were they really?
They were hilarious.
I need to check that out then. Herb from Gurley, Alabama says, if the government can get after Costco, and it should, for ignoring its fiduciary responsibilities to its stockholders. Who's going to get after the government for forcing Ford into a $5 billion loss because of forced EV regulations? Well, that's just it. You've got right now, you got Ford is forced into certain compliance issues, but Ford has begun to back off. And like, if you look at it, I think it was it Ford or General Motors that had an entire plant that they were about to retool for EV and they backed off of it. Toyota did the same thing. But basically, they've got to quit kowtowing to these government ridiculous agenda-driven mandates that don't do anything for their profitability and recognize that they actually sort of hold the cards if you get down to it. I mean, get into the EV market, sure. But don't, like, put all your eggs in that basket because Joe Biden told you to. Rock from Huntsville checking in. Rock from Huntsville says, does the Biden pardon from Milley cover the UCMJ? My understanding is it would, yes, because he's the commander-in-chief. So I think that if there is criminal conduct for which Milley could be prosecuted, it would likely be under the UCMJ anyway, so therefore the commander-in-chief issuing a pardon probably covers that. That's my off-the-cuff response, Rock, but I'm pretty sure I'm accurate on that. That being said, it does not mean that Milley cannot face non-punitive action such as removal of a security clearance, non-punitive, non-judicial action under the UCMJ, like losing a security clearance, like losing rank. And then, oh, by the way, he can appeal it, but does he really want to do that? Because if he appeals it, well, he has to give testimony. So, more to come on this. We'll see where it goes. Marshall from Dubai checking in, and he says, okay, tell you what, Marshall, I got to, you know what? He says, make sure you proofread this before I read it out loud. So I guess I better proofread it before I come back to it. So Marshall, I'll come back to you. Thank you much. Julie Ruff, because we got right side ruffians in the audience. Julie Ruff from Marshall County says, I know I'm off topic. Don't scold. Audience. All right, listen. She says, I know I'm off topic. Don't scold me. So every day you sign off on your show with there's more of us than there are of them. There are. I was today years old when I realized that is 2 Kings 6:16. And I'm here for it. Bless you, Phil. Wow. Julie, no fussing. No fussing whatsoever. And now I got to go read 2 Kings 6:16. That's cool. You want to look that up for me? Look up 2 Kings 6:16 while I take a few more text messages. And let's tell me exactly the verse says. If you got it right now, I'll just wait. You got it?
I got it.
What's it say?
So this is the NIV version. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
Outstanding. Julie Ruff gets applause. That's like, she nailed it. I didn't even know I was quoting scripture, but there it is. You know who I'm quoting? I'm quoting my wife. Because she's the one who says it.
She was probably quoting 2 Kings.
And knowing my wife, she was probably quoting 2 Kings.
Yeah.
Brian from Huntsville says, my wife ages ago, quote, in the field, your first sergeant has priority. In our home, I am the commander-in-chief. Nice. Well played, sir. Flip from Priceville says, are pardons able to be taken away by future presidents? No, they are not. That's sort of like having a adjudication. You can't go back and retry someone when they've already been tried for the crime. It's like a double jeopardy kind of thing. So no, once the pardon has been issued, the pardon power, assuming the pardon can be issued, because like the president is not by a law not allowed to pardon for impeachments. So if there was an elected official who was impeached, he can't pardon that. But there is an arguable offense here that the pardons can't be preemptive because pardons are usually excusing something that has actually occurred in the eyes of the law. No one has said that Milley or Fauci or Liz Cheney or, you know, any of the others that were excused preemptively, Biden family members. No one has indicted them. No one has said, here's that thing. So the question is, can a pardon stick if there was nothing officially to pardon? What is socially? What has been talked about? What is on social media? That doesn't count. But I read you the other day, there is a case from the 1800s that seems to indicate that the pardon power has been interpreted to be for other things even prior to adjudication. Gary M.S. from Huntsville, Alabama says, in answer to your query, start a list, Air Force 1971 to 75. Which query? Which one are we talking about?
Talking about how many veterans listen to our show.
No, nice. All right. Ding. Chalk that one up. Got it. Gary MS, thanks for your service, man. Oh, wow, gosh. Okay, listen, we got so much stuff here. I'm not going to get – I had two dippers I didn't get to.
Well, if you don't
– I had two.
If you don't mind me asking, since we got a couple of minutes before the end of the segment, of something that I've been concerned with, though I know your thoughts.
Oh, Lord.
Well, it's in response in regards to the confirmation hearings. I'm getting pretty worried that some of these, you know, like the Cash Patels, the RFKs, the Tulsi Gabbards may not get confirmed in the Senate because we had to have J.D. Vance be the tie-breaking vote for Pete Hegseth. And now we got two former Democrats of RFK and Tulsi Gabbard. Will we see somebody like a Mitch McConnell or, you know, a Republican? Because, I mean, even with just three of Murkowski, Collins, and McConnell, they need a tie-breaking vote. All he needs one more, and it's at least a tie. Are you worried at all about any Republicans not jumping on board? And
yeah, I mean, McConnell's already proven that he's willing to be off the rails, off the team. And he's not. This is not a principle thing, by the way. This is a get Trump thing.
Yeah.
Murkowski, I think Trump endorsed her opponent. Collins, she's completely unpredictable. She's not really a Republican, at least not in the spirit that we. I'd say that you can have squishy Republicans too, as much as you can have right wing conservative Republicans. But she is so often voted for Democrat issues and not for conservative issues. And then Mitch McConnell, I think he's just mad because Trump didn't want to support the person that he thought should be his replacement, John Thune. Trump was endorsing, you know, others for the role of majority leader. So I really felt like that was a gotcha moment McConnell was playing. Now, will he extend that through to others? I don't know. I was surprised he did it with Hegseth. And I'm not aware of any other Republican right now saying they won't support the other nominations.
Yeah, and nobody said it publicly, but it's just concerning to me that, you know, it was 50-50 with Hegseth. And yeah. I think RFK, and like I said, RFK and Tulsi being former Democrats who may get somebody and somebody else may get, I don't know. It's just, it's worrying me because we have a majority in the Senate, but if you're going to have three people jump ship, you don't have a majority anymore.
There was talk of Lindsey Graham not supporting Tulsi Gabbard. I've not seen yet whether he has come back out. And he said something along the lines of, I want to meet with each one. And that's fine with that. That is fair. You need to meet with each one. That's your job. But if it comes time for the vote and he doesn't vote for her, he better have some darn good reasons why.
And that's the kind of people I'm worried about, the Lindsey Grahams, the Mitch McConnells. But I'm worried because, like I said, these are ones you got to get on board. And if we don't get these passed, these are big ones.
But then you look at it, too, and say, okay, if we lose a Lindsey Graham, will John Fetterman say, you know what, I like Tulsi?
Maybe. That's a good point.
I can see that. I could see Fetterman. We don't have Manchin anymore, but I could see Fetterman doing that. And there's a couple of Democrats out there that may like their former Democrat colleagues, even though they left the party. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll wait and see. I think if anybody would, Fetterman would.
Yeah.
And we'll see if he'll be willing to break ranks. He's been willing to break ranks and other stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll wait and see. All right, JP, take us to a break, man. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back, wrapping the day. Was it a one dipper day, or were there like mini dippers built in?
It was a one dipper with a bunch of mini dippers.
A bunch. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. About to go to the phones, but I got to tell you, so a moment ago, the lovely Charlene just texted in. With regards to recognizing that the thing she always says about there's more of us than there are them, mm-hmm. She says, I'm a prophet.
She did it without even knowing.
That's right. Maybe she did know.
Yeah, maybe she did. She's keeping her cards close.
Real quick, some text messages, because I said that about veterans in our audience. Hugh from Huntsville says, veteran here, U.S. Army, 1993 to 2003. Thank you for your service, sir. Salute. Chris from Sterrett reminded us we need to read verse 17 also, which is that's the one that... It literally took it a step further. And what did 17 say? You read it a minute ago.
The Lord opened Elijah's, let me pull up real quick.
Opened his eyes.
And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Oh, it's such an awesome passage. It really is. Yeah, thank you very much, Chris from Sterrett. And then Gary from Leicester, Alabama says, USMC, Athens, Alabama, checking in. Hoorah. All right, let me go to the phones real quick. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm still in Alabama, but I'm heading the right direction anyway.
Oh, good. You're not going to talk about goat condoms again today, are you?
No, I'm Jeff Ford. He's still show on that one today, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
And you thought I was bad.
I know. Well, what's on your mind today, man? What do you think about all this stuff?
Confirmation hearing.
Yeah.
We're going to start kicking some Republican butt on this stuff and everything, get them all these ducks in a row. What do you think the confirmation hearing was on Pete Buttigieg?
Oh, Buttigieg. I think he got like a unanimous vote with all Republicans chiming in, didn't he?
He got 86-13.
Ah.
And, the Democrats basically, you know, they're all voting against every one of our people and everything. Republicans we're going to start primarying these people like, the old turtle, he's gone anyway. I don't think he'll survive probably the end of his term the way he's been locking up lately, you know, and everything. Yeah. Don't know where he's at and everything else.
Yeah. Talking about McConnell,
Either get with the program or switch sides or do something, you know, just like all these independents. All the independents always vote for Democrats, you know, and everything. It's like, when has an independent voted for Republican things, you know?
I don't know, but I look at this and think, Republicans, you're right. Republicans have got to quit playing around. If it's a bipartisan support, I understand it. But don't just give them the votes if they're not going to give us the votes when the time comes, because that's where we are. They're doing everything they can right now to impede good candidates who I think we can get past, but they know the margin is so thin, all they got to do is peel away one.
Well, if I can add this, I don't know if you saw this, you know, Nicole Shanahan, who was RFK's VP,
yeah,
who's got a lot of money, she posted a video last night and called out some senators by name, McConnell's and such, and said that if you guys do not vote for RFK, I will personally fund your primaries, similar to what Elon did. So hopefully she's putting on the pressure to them so they're scared to do that.
I don't think McConnell cares. He's a lame duck right now anyway. But listen, Jeff's got it right. I mean, yeah. we gotta nail this a little better.
And McConnell's been a quack for a long time.
Well,
go ahead.
He presided over tepid results. It's almost like he just wanted things to remain status quo. I mean, look back at the 2022 midterms. Well, I never promised you a supermajority, and that's exactly what we got, a non-supermajority. We got nothing. I mean, it was the biggest waste of time.
Yeah, it's as bad. But tomorrow, need a little bit of prayer from everybody.
Okay, what you got, man?
My wife's going in for upper GI tomorrow. She's been having some stomach problems.
Okay.
And hopefully we won't find nothing wrong.
Well, bless her, Jesus, and the doctors would be skillful and the results would be perfect and that she would be back on her feet without any issues in Jesus' name. How about that?
I appreciate that much, Phil.
All right, man. Be safe on the road, brother. We will talk to you tomorrow, I hope. I hope she does well.
Oh yeah, it's early.
Okay.
I'll be happy the rest of the day to myself.
Okay.
Have a good one, buddy.
See you, man. John from Huntsville got the grades in. I think I missed them yesterday. Our texture was so screwed up. That's what it was. Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore get a solid A for their equally solid performances. Phil gets an A+ for his equally excellent performance. However, today's winner is JP with a nearly perfect A++. JP, solid, man.
Nearly perfect.
Nearly perfect.
I did something in there.
Somewhere in there. You didn't talk about Seinfeld this time, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, is that the music playing that I hear in the background?
No, we got about 20 seconds.
I swear I heard something.
You're hearing things.
Is it like Pavlov's dog? Like I think I hear the chimes and that means I'm going to the house for dinner?
Yeah.
I don't know. All said and done. Listen, you guys are an amazing audience. And as we continue to grow, I just want to thank you again. I can't thank you enough because the truth be told, JP and I could sit here and talk into this microphone. It wouldn't make a spot level of difference if you guys weren't out there enjoying this with us. So all you right side ruffians, all you veterans, especially in our community too, we thank you doubly for your service. Listen, stay in the fight. I'm just saying, we may be on top of things right now, but don't think for a second that they're going to let up. This is going to be a long road, and let's take the long game approach to it, all right? There's more of us than there are of them. God's still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.